blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Kamini Padipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I to confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are here
to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Practice, a reminder that there are back jacks in the corner and you'd be welcome to help yourself. What shall we look at this morning?
Special about that in a way, not that there's anything in particular that I'm feeling grateful at the moment, just aware that there's a lot to be grateful for.
Right. Would you say living in gratitude?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. After a while, it's not even so much about something.
Right. Right.
It's a process, isn't it? It's a process of gratitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, I think when one is in that process of gratitude, it's hard to find things that we're not grateful for. I was aware this morning of how much beauty there was, how much abundance there is, how much kindness there is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We see everything through those eyes, don't
yeah.
we? When that's what we're doing inside,
yeah.
if we're doing gratitude,
right.
then we see things to be grateful for.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, the opposite is the case, too.
That's true.
We're doing unhappiness and dissatisfaction, we see lots of things that are wrong and are not the way they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's helpful, isn't it? Just to see.
Is.
I mean, really, we have a whole, we have a very concrete choice about the world we live in.
Yeah.
And that choice comes out of the way we approach it and the way we look at what is here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking about the analogy. I have a pair of sunglasses that when I wear them changes the color of things decidedly, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be thinking, wow, that's really kind of that, and I take them off and I go, no, it's not actually. And it's the same thing really, you know, if we're depending on which glasses we're wearing, things will look very different.
Very, very different, yeah. And of course we can't really know, but it does seem like, tell me if this is your experience or not, but you know, when we're looking through the glasses of egocentric karmic conditioning and, seeing what's not right and what's not okay and what's not okay about me and about them and all the suffering and unhappiness that comes with that, as compared to, you know, the experience you're talking about, you know, seeing through the eyes of gratitude,
mm-hmm.
the second feels a lot more like what actually is.
Yeah.
Than the first. The first feels a lot more contrived and made up and like something artificial is being put on what is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we really can't know, but that's how it feels to me. I don't know if that's how it feels to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, it does. It does, and as you were saying that, I was also seeing that, you know, I think when I'm in an identity, when I'm in a part, you know, some part of me or some egocentric part of me that has a worldview,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that's the world I live in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different me's, so I can live in different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And but the one I'm experiencing this morning is more an experience of not me.
yeah. So let me just reflect that. So make sure everybody got it, because that's important. So there, and this will, you know, it's, of course, a lot of what will be talked about over the course of the retreat that's happening here this week. But there are different aspects of you. And each aspect of you has a particular worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all those aspects of you, even though they look at the world in very different ways, the thing they have in common is they're separate from life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're suffering in some way. They're isolated, they're unhappy in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may be looking through, you know, so there's like lots of different pairs of glasses, you know, rose-colored, yellow,
right.
you know. And so you're putting all those on. Those are all the different, kind of those different aspects of you. The world looks really different from all those different places, and there's a common sort of something's not right, you know, life is not okay, sort of a thing that goes with that. And so that's the whole world of, you know, what we talk about as egocentric karmic conditioning. What it feels to you like you're experiencing this morning is more like looking, you know, the glasses are clear almost, looking through the at the world from a place where there isn't a me or an identity, a somebody looking. It more feels like it's life looking.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting here watching how the glasses can change from clear to colored
mm-hmm.
and back again very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky because we can't really know.
Yeah.
That we can't know this is life looking, but it's fun to kind of to look and see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just thinking though that knowing what that experience of gratitude feels like
mm-hmm.
is a helpful tool to have more sense of what glasses I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's I may not be totally at one with life, but I know that when I'm having that kind of rich, full experience, I'm a lot closer than if I'm focused on, you know, I don't like that or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely in the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had this neat experience yesterday and it. So I just want to talk about it. We have a friend who, with whom we have done a lot of walking in other countries, and she and a group of those people were able to come to our house last May. And they're somewhat older. She's 77, and after they were at our house in May, in October she had a stroke, and. So we've been really keeping up with her. She lives in another city, so we don't see her, but. So, you know, you never know how someone's going to respond to something, of course.
Right.
And I don't know her that well, actually. I mean, even though we've walked together, she's not an intimate friend. She's not someone I've ever seen in circumstances other than just walking in. So it's just been so inspiring to watch this woman, because, she's been very upfront about the fact that she really hates that she had the stroke, you know. When we talk to her on the phone, she'll talk about, is this a terrible thing? It's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I hope it never happens to you, you know. So there's no being a martyr about this.
Mm-hmm.
But she just plugs away at the physical therapy, you know. She's in a place where she can get that now. And there was we got a photograph of her that another friend took walking in the swimming pool. And And another one where she's walking with a walker and an assistant, and you know she's coming back as much as she can. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so the photograph that came in yesterday, I was just looking at her, and what arose in me, as a statement was, it's the power of humility. That's just what arose. Those words.
The power of humility.
Yeah, and because it's all projection, of course, but I just have this sense. You know, I guess I've never seen humility as powerful, mm-hmm. but it feels like. There's no pride or resentment or anything standing between her and whatever she needs to do to heal. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's quite a beautiful woman and normally is very well turned out. I mean, she's when we walk in other countries, you know, she's the only one that shows up at dinner with a necklace. You know, she always looks perfect. Uh-huh. And here she is, you know, walking with all this assistance and stuff and her arm and that thing.
Not perfect anymore.
And perfectly willing to have her picture taken, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm so moved. And it just feels like, I mean, again, it's all projection, but it just feels like, boy, if you can let it all go mm-hmm. and just do what lies before you mm-hmm. and say whatever you're experiencing and whatever you're feeling, whatever that might be, there's huge power in that.
Yeah, I was seeing that too. The humility that you're projecting she has gives her the power to just go step by step by step through the process mm-hmm. instead of being separate from the process,
right.
you know, resisting it, glossing it over, ignoring it, or all the things that we do when we're in conditioned mind
yeah.
and unable to respond to what's happening and just being kind of stuck in this sort of alternate experience where she's not being taken care of.
Yeah, and what it reminded me of, it's out of a recent retreat we had, it's just becoming clearer and clearer to me that that whenever I get into some place that's locked into an identity, like if I get locked into resentment or righteousness or something like that, what I'm really getting is that identity has a set of responses that come with it as a package, mm-hmm. and that's all that's available. Mm-hmm.
And
it's
fixed.
It's fixed and it's small.
Yeah, it can't go with life. It can't go step by step.
Yep.
It can only be separate from life, stuck in the same point of view, responding to the circumstances, always from the same place with the same result.
Exactly. And so what I'm projecting onto her is she's not going to one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, that this has happened. And what she's doing, she has available to her whatever she needs mm-hmm. in order to move forward.
Yeah.
And I have, of course, no idea if that's the case, but it sure looks like that. And anyway, it's helpful projection for me uh-huh. to have, because to just see that, boy, the more we can drop all the stuff that comes up, the more available we are to simply respond with the whole repertoire of possibility
right.
to whatever's in front of us.
Right. Yeah, and how I'm getting something I'm getting from what you're saying is how important that work is.
Oh God!
You know, because we do it, we need to do it day by day by day with whatever life presents.
Mm-hmm.
Because conditioning, I mean, it's always attempting to do that thing you were talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To pull us off into a separate place, fixed, isolated, mm-hmm. Always at the same point of view, always with the same result. It's trying to do that with everything, and so, like on a day by day, even kind of moment by moment. Basis, practicing, letting go of that, coming back here, going step by step, getting caught up again, mm-hmm. coming back here, going step by step. That becomes sort of a way of life in a way. It prepares us for the times. I mean, I don't know what your friend has done, something to be able to do that probably, but it sets us up for being able to respond even with the really big things that life throws our way.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, so far as I know, she doesn't have a particular spiritual practice. I don't know anything about that. But the other thing I'm just realizing is my gratitude at having someone be so inspirational,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you know, it just is a wonderful thing to see someone respond. I had no idea whether she had that kind of resilience or kind of toughness, and so to see that is just, it's so reinforcing about the possibility is available to me, to all of us.
Yeah, well, even a step further, I would think, I mean, it's mirroring, would you agree, it's mirroring the work that you're doing?
Sure.
That's why you see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's obviously very important to you, and it's something that you're practicing, and so you, as you practice it, you're seeing that
yeah.
outside.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. been a couple things that I could use some assistance with, and that is procrastination and doing versus being.
Okay. Two projects.
Two projects.
Procrastination and doing versus being.
And I, this, I think this ties into our conversation this morning. I have been seeing for the first time, thanks to I don't want to. I keep forgetting the title of that book. You can't read me. No. Yeah.
The resistance book.
Transcending resistance. Procrastination has been one of those practice opportunities for me, and so I'm seeing for the first time that there is the procrastination orientation to life, that identity, mm-hmm. and when I'm in that, that's all she does.
That's what's available.
That's what's available to her. She procrastinates.
I'll do it later.
Yeah, I'll do it later. And there's a lot about it's going to take too much time. Mm-hmm. I don't have that time to do that now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there'll be a better time later. Mm-hmm. And of course, there never is.
No, especially when you're in the procrastination identity.
Especially in the procrastination identity. And it's such a setup because eventually the procrastination catches up with her. Mm-hmm. And then it's an opportunity to feel for self-hate and to feel really, really bad that this thing just didn't happen.
Boy, that is egocentric karma conditioning at its best.
It is.
Because, you know, it's talking you into procrastinating, right?
Right.
I mean, that's not a free choice that this part of you is making.
No, yeah.
It's a program. It's being fed. You know, she, or we could say you, when you're believing that, are being talked to. Mm-hmm. And, oh no, you don't have to do that right now. It'll be lots of time later. You know, all these things aren't true. Mm-hmm. There's this whole other part of the package where the things pile up. You know, things aren't happening. There's probably, if it was me, it would be anxiety starting to build because on some level I know things aren't being attended to. And somewhere down the line, there's going to be the hammer's going to fall.
Yeah, I know. Just as you lay that out, I can just, just so much compassion comes up for her. You know, she's caught in that. And it's just, you know, it's a train wreck. It's heading to happen, and she can't see it.
Right. And then, of course, you know, the worst part is the train wreck happens, but because who she is, who this part of you is procrastination, and when you are her, you can't look at that and learn from that.
Oh, yeah.
You can't look at that and say, oh, you know what, I see what happened.
Right.
All you can do is say, well, I think I'll start doing the same old behaviors.
Exactly. Well, next time I'm not going to procrastinate. Next time's going to be different.
Which is the next step towards
the train wreck again,
Well, it's crystal clear the way you're laying that out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's happening with all of us all the time.
Yeah.
It might not always be procrastination. Right. Could be something different for different people. But round and round and round, the train wreck, the recovery from the train wreck. Yeah, it's not a happy place to live.
No. So I have been noticing some new behaviors lately, though, that have just kind of come up. I would attribute it to practice. Mm-hmm. They've just kind of spontaneously arisen, and that is, what's happened is at times I've seen things that need to be done, and instead of that conversation of, well, gosh, I'm going to put that on a list and I'll do it later.
The list for never.
The list for never. I've just done it.
Wow.
You know? And even to do just a small thing toward something that conditioning tells me is going to take hours, mm-hmm. you know, even to do 5 minutes of it mm-hmm. is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, and my experience so far has been that, a heck of a lot can get done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That actually 5 minutes of being caught in that loop.
Yeah. Well, you're breaking the cycle, aren't you?
Yeah.
As you were talking, I was thinking of an electrical circuit. You know, and if everything's connected, it just goes around and around and around. Yeah. You're at that point where the conversation starts to stop. starts to start, mm-hmm. where it starts to attempt to talk you into the behavior that's going to lead towards the train wreck. Instead of believing that and being the person who believes that, you're there. Mm-hmm. You're present to that. You hear it instead of believing it, mm-hmm. and then you just break the circuit. Yeah. And then it doesn't go to a train wreck.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't go to the self-hate. You stay here out of that cycle.
Yeah, and what's really cool, I can see that this right now, is that it is not part of that I'm going to improve myself thing mm-hmm. that would come from the beating, like,
yeah
someday I'm going to get better at this.
Because all that does is it puts blinders on.
Right.
So that you can't see that the start of the process.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of taking you along the next steps. But if you're not believing that, so the train wreck happens, and I mean, I bet you something like this has been happening. It's like, you know what, this stinks. I don't want that to be happening anymore. As you say, there's a great sense of compassion for the part of you who is involved with that. So from that, you know, let's not do that. Let's not do this decision that this is never going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be here as best we can, and let's see if we can catch where this thing gets started and cut it off right there.
Yeah, and I know I can't say that I'm even conscious of having any conversation about, okay, we're going to do this differently, or, mm-hmm. you know, it just seemed to just kind of arise.
Well, you're a different person.
A different, right.
You're not this part of you. I imagine folks who, familiar with that, it must be from reading the book, you know, from, you know, these different aspects. It's come up already a couple of times this morning. So you're not this part of you, the procrastinator.
Mm-hmm.
You are, you know, probably here. You know, you're you instead. And so what's natural to the procrastinator is procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
What's natural to each of us as we live here is acting appropriately in a really kind and compassionate way.
Yeah, it feels more like from life rather than from
mm-hmm.
from that self-hating system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really fun. And I'm glad it just came up, because also just to say it out loud and acknowledge it, that there is that behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we've just talked about recently with the retreat, acknowledging successes, mm-hmm. and it's something that I have been practicing as well, and it's a cool thing.
It's great to have a success like this.
It is, and that they do seem to build on one another,
uh-huh.
Versus the the oh no's. They seem to build on one another
really
too
do.
When one's attention is on those.
Mm-hmm.
So,
especially if, as is the case in what you're saying, I think you're eliminating the element of self-hatred.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a self-hate trap.
Yeah.
Is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So every time you don't do that, there is energy that normally goes into a, you know, self-hate, feeling bad about mm-hmm. what's going on, that's not going there.
Yeah.
And is more available to presence and seeing and compassion and awareness. And then from that place, we see, oh, there's another self-hate trap, let's not do that.
Yeah.
And so there's another piece of energy that normally is going in there that's not going in there, it's going into compassion and awareness, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's good, it starts
yeah.
to kind of...
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this feels like a whole nother conversation, but, you know, what also arose this morning is that place of being versus doing,
mm-hmm.
and... you know, I can also slip into the doer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing this morning that, well, I think there's been some belief that, you know, to just be, one has to just sit down and be.
The body can't be moving around.
Can't be moving around, you
mm-hmm.
know. And just looking at that place of being while the body is moving, while whatever's happening, just that mm-hmm. place of being used, I guess, by life, or being animated by life.
It's not a physical thing.
It's not.
It's a state inside the physical.
Yeah.
And I bet you anything, It's the state of being that provides the opening for
exactly.
the awareness, like with the procrastination.
Right.
And the conversation that's starting to happen is the being that sees that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting this morning, then, of course, as soon as that change of behavior happened with the... It's not the first time, but, you know, it happened this morning with doing, actually taking care of something rather than procrastinating. Well, then the information I got right away is, oh, no, you shouldn't be doing all the time. You better, you better sit down and relax, you know.
That's just downright not right.
It is.
You'll use the doing issue until it works to its advantage.
Oh, my gosh, it just doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
And it's right there. But anyway, so it's very cool and exciting. And,
Well, it's just fun. I mean, that's where practice gets really fun, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, just in the trenches.
Yeah.
Doing the work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's been more of that, like, I want to see how this happens. And mm-hmm. I want to, you know, we're going to roll up our sleeves and get there. And it is a much more active and a much more exciting orientation.
Yeah, sure is. Thank you. Christine.
That just a being reminded me this morning, I was looking at the bats and how authentic, of course, they are. I mean, it would be funny for a human to think that a bat or any animal wouldn't be authentic.
Uh-huh. You know, like they're not trying to not be bats.
No, and they're like they're sleeping, and then they stretch, and then they like pop their head up, and then it seems like they go back to sleep, and like
they don't have a problem with pooping all over the place.
Anything, they're just like completely. I'm projecting authentic. They're just. Uh-huh.
Not even trying to be good bats.
No, and so I'm in this. I noticed a little bit of a loop. I'm just starting the "There's Nothing Wrong with You" retreat this week, and I realize being here that this is something I can just drop. But it has been kind of sticky, and I've noticed that it's been here before, and it's that since I'm going to this retreat, I'm hearing that that I need to be prepared. And so it's like I'm supposed to be looking at the problems in my life so that I can be prepared to fix them rather than going along just... It's like, you know, we did the resistance retreat and there were so many reminders of being present so that life can just arise and oh yeah, that, and oh yeah, that. And I move around being as present as I can. And when this hooked me, like, oh gosh, you know, now look at your, try to find a problem. And it was... crazy. I even forgot. Like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be present so that life gives me this information. It must have been such a... It seems like the reason it hooked me is that because now I'm starting a retreat, I'm going to be in the retreat, you better do it right. Mm-hmm. You better be the right person. Mm-hmm. And something about it hooked me and...
So what we need is, seems like, is to run everything by something like, what would the bats do?
Yeah, I know, really.
Because they don't really have that kind of thing.
No, I know. I thought that too, like, what would this human do just being authentic?
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with whatever happens with the retreat or anything else in life, as it arises... What you will need will also arise at the same time.
Yeah,
I mean, in conditioning, that's very hard to accept because, you know, we're all conditioned to prepare, you know, trying to be guarded against life in a way by being, ready for all the calamities or everything that are supposedly going to happen. Mm-hmm. But just to trust that as life will arise in me also in response to that. And that's all I really need. I don't need to be prepared at all.
Yeah, and that has been my experience. And so thank you. I like to hear that again. You don't have to prepare at all. Just be present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just be here. Yeah. And it's just, I think one of the points you're making is a good one. You know, that's happening everywhere all the time outside of human conditioned experience. Mm-hmm. There's the bats, the trees, and everything else in nature. There's the sunlight. There's everything the earth is doing. It's all just unfolding as it unfolds. It's not out of time. You know, it's not. There's nothing outside of that that is being done.
No.
To make that happen.
Yeah.
It's all just unfolding. We have this idea because of our conditioned mind that we can't have that same relationship with life. But of course, we absolutely can. It just takes a lot of practice to drop all of the stuff that's going on here that's trying to pull us out of life and do something like preparation, and just trust that we can be here step by step going through life as it unfolds.
Yeah, it just reminds me of how all of us, when we were little, how we really had to. Like, I can picture myself, gosh, I mean, we had to please those parents, and we had to fit in, or, you know, so we could eat and whatever, you know, as a little teeny person. But yeah, I don't have to do that. Now I'm just part of it all, and I'm gonna let life live me.
You have everything you need right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was very helpful for me. Because I think I'm having experience of beginner's mind coming through again.
Oh, good.
Well, yes, it's always very good to just not have any preconceived notions about how things are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had 5 days of visiting my family, all of them there. And when I say all, it's not a very big family that I
have. It seems like it, though, sometimes.
It does, and especially when there's only one of me. It was very eye-opening this time in a way that I don't think it has ever been before. Mm-hmm. Where I felt like I was beginner's minding there too, almost. Mm-hmm. Like I started to see a structure that was happening. Like whenever I'm there, you know, like this, it was almost like a web, you know, where everybody was playing a part that everybody else was responding to.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that kept it all exactly the same.
Other people know that experience.
And it was the most startling part about it is that I could track it all inside of me. Like, exactly the way it was happening that I was seeing it. Well, of course, you know, I'm projecting it, of course, but the way I was seeing it was happening internally here. Like,
let me see if I'm with you. So. At one point, that was not going on. You were just a little kid in the family.
That's right.
The dynamics are getting set up. You internalize those dynamics. So now, even if you're away from your family, that same process is going on inside.
You're playing
all the parts.
I'm playing all the parts, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, and it's very clear when I have externals, you know, because like when I see how my mother is, and the role that she's playing and how she's keeping it together. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing the same thing, but it's so very clear with her.
Mm-hmm.
I see the trap that she's in the situation that she's in, and how she's kept everybody from being able to help her.
Mm-hmm.
I've just never ever seen it that way. I mean, she has an illness that is just like, for the first time, I actually saw it. You know, like I've never seen it before. She's just mom. You know, she's just going about. But I was helping her care for herself. You know, she's got some sores on her hands and when I saw what she was up against, I was like, how on earth can she do it?
Mm-hmm.
How can she even cook anything?
Mm-hmm.
How could she shop? How could she even wash her hair?
Mm-hmm.
I was just completely floored, and the way that she stuck is that she's kept everybody in the family small. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a projection, of course, but
yeah, it's always important to throw that part in.
Yeah,
that we don't really know what's going on.
We don't, but mm-hmm. The roles that everybody else is playing is, it's not my job. You know, it's not my, I don't cook, I don't clean, I don't take care of anything. And it was so very clear to see with my, you know, my brother and my father, you know.
So let me say it in a slightly different way and see if I'm tracking you.
Yes.
So basically what you're seeing is how egocentric karmic conditioning works.
Exactly.
To trap us in a world of unhappiness and suffering. And you're seeing it through the particulars of your family.
Correct.
So you see, you know, your mom with the situation she has with her illness, mm-hmm. with the conditioning she has to keep everybody else small. You can see how they're all playing that too. They've all got their sort of little isolated world they're living in.
Correct.
And there's this whole dynamic that's basically keeping all the elements of it in place, and keeping egocentric karmic conditioning in charge of the whole thing, yes. making sure that everything about the situation produces maximum suffering.
Yes, very well put. And it's actually a lot more. There are a lot more parts within all of that mm-hmm. too. As I'm starting to sit with it, you know, there's a feeling like a victim on one hand, being a hero on another. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything. I'm okay.
And so these are your places that you'll get
exactly.
bothered as a way of being stuck in this dynamic in the way everybody else is.
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. And what was so helpful to be there was that I saw this is how I'm being kept stuck. And I know, and I was watching it, was I knew what everybody needed to do in order to unclick that lock, mm-hmm. you know. So I was if everybody did that at once, things would change. Things would change dramatically for the best for everybody.
Right.
And I just started to write down what those little locks, you know, what those little changes of behavior would mm-hmm. be. And I started playing around God, it was so challenging because since I've been a kid, this is how I've had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so to not play the part of the little boy,
mm-hmm.
I'm just getting chills right now because it was just so hard to do that.
To break out of that.
Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't see it before. Do you know what I mean?
You didn't even know you were.
I wasn't even know I was.
You're just being me.
I was just being me. This is mm-hmm. mom. It's just the way she's.
Mom's just being mom.
Mom's just being mom.
But there's this whole other invisible thing happening with everybody.
Thing was just happening right with everybody, and mm-hmm. I started to play with you know, twisting that little key, you know, trying to unlock the role that I was playing in all of that, and it was difficult, but it was also very, very rewarding because as I started to do that, I started to see. A whole lot more about just myself and the kind of trap that I have been in. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about, you know, what's going on with the family, but the trap that I have been in with who it is that I thought that I was.
Well, that's where it's ultimately helpful, isn't it? Because, it really is helpful to see it mirrored in the outside, mm-hmm. but it is being mirrored mm-hmm. in the outside. You're seeing what goes on in here,
yes.
out there. Because it really is hard to know what's going on out there.
It is, yeah.
But you're definitely seeing, you're getting a sense of what's going on in here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of gets sort of mysterious, too, because it is in here.
Yes.
And so, you know, you have left that situation, you're here, but it's very likely it's at least trying to create the same world that was out, on the outside, mm-hmm. here on the outside, or wherever you might go on the outside, with you playing that same role that you learned how to play when you were a little bitty.
Yep.
And it's very, like you're saying, it's very, very difficult to catch on to that because it just seems real.
Yes.
It's this is the world I've always lived in, it's always looked this way, this is who I've always been, so much so I don't even know this is the world I'm living in, this is the person I've always been, mm-hmm. this is always just how it is, and there's no alternative to that.
That's karma. That's exactly mm-hmm. how it works because the most challenging part for me is going to be keeping that awareness in front of me so mm-hmm. that I keep focusing on the behavior changes mm-hmm. that they've all had because they all take me out of the roles that I play that are unhelpful, that like the conditioning is keeping me play to create the maximum suffering, the way you put it.
Yeah, and that really is the way to influence that, isn't it?
It's the only
we have to see it, and that sounds like a big piece of the of the experience you've had in the last week is really seeing. You're seeing how it's working.
Yes.
But we can't really stop there. Because otherwise,
it just goes away, and then I'll
And it gets absorbed into the system. Right. The system will just use that as just another way of creating the same thing. But if you're actually changing it on a level of behavior, where it's kind of like the procrastination thing we talked about a minute ago, you know. So if the programming says go left, and you've always gone left, right here when you get this, you've always gone left. And then staying present enough to know I'm going right. And it doesn't even matter where right goes.
I know, exactly. I just to see what will happen when I go right, because I've just never done that before.
Yeah.
And so that was what my experience was this past week, because I just kept going right. And I was like, no, it can't be right. Yes, it is right. Mm-hmm. I mean, right, I'm playing the little pun there. On it. But yeah, it is. I just found out so much. It was tremendously helpful just to stay present to it, just to see what would happen as I did it.
Yeah, and then you're in the power place instead of egocentric karmic conditioning.
It felt extremely powerful. It felt like I was so distanced from it all that felt like I was responding to what was actually there all of a sudden instead of just going along with the program.
And being controlled.
Being controlled.
Powerless.
Not by anybody else, yeah, but just by this. Yes, exactly. And, it was like, I wonder what's going to happen next, was the attitude that kept coming up, you know?
Something interesting.
I know. I don't know, sometimes I think that inspires possibility in place in ways that I can't foresee, you know?
Definitely in your life, and what's possible for you, and maybe for other people too. Right?
Yes.
Now.
Thank you.
June.
The other day, I was at the gym, and someone who lives here in the community asked me about the monastery, and I gave her the website, and she said, and I don't understand why about the silence. What is that about? And what arose for me to say in that moment was, in the silence, you don't have to be somebody. And I don't know what it did for her, but when I said
it was big for you.
Yeah, just this relief. I just felt this flood of relief. Every time I've looked at it since then, it just feels amazing.
And of course, you know, that insight, of course, drops in from a place of not being a somebody.
Yeah.
Because am I right? That's where you were. That's where it came from.
Yeah. When it's like sitting there when someone asks about the practice to be as clear a representative as you can be. You just get really here. So I've been looking at how not being somebody used to be. it was a part of me that was saying, now I'm not being somebody.
It was somebody not being anybody.
That confused me for a long time, and then over time it's just become clear. You don't really do anything about that either. It's all a process of just dropping whatever is pulling you away and coming back. It doesn't matter what it is. And the underlying aspect of it all that has to be that I have had to see the truth of this, there's nothing wrong.
That there's nothing wrong. That needs to not be a part of the orientation that you're bringing to life in order for the possibility to just be here instead of being a somebody to be available. Did I get that right?
Yes. Getting caught up and pulled pulled away and lost and headed for the train wreck. It's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When the awareness is there, oops, I got on that train as it was leaving the station.
That's okay.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With practice, with presence, maybe next time I won't get on that train.
Yeah.
We'll see in the moment.
Yeah, and there's a place of compassion there, isn't there? That takes the place.
Huge. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can't see it unless, let's see, if I'm in a place of judgment about what, or I'm looking to see how the train wreck happens, if I'm in a place of judgment to stop it, and fix it, and fix what's wrong, I won't see it, really.
Right, and it'll just continue. Yeah, you really have to not see. You have to not be a part of the whole system of suffering in order to be in the place of that compassion that sees.
Yeah.
It really is kind of that glasses thing that Mickey was talking about a little while ago. You know, the condition is just trying to put glasses there all the time. So you might be in wearing the glasses of the person who gets on the train in the station, and you see that. But then immediately what conditioning tries to do is put another set of glasses on. Those glasses won't work anymore because you just see those. And you've just taken them off, but then conditioning tries to slide another one on, like, you know, look at you for believing that. You know, some kind of a judgment.
Somebody on the street with a new overcoat that has fucking
glasses. Yeah, and it doesn't matter from conditioning's point of view, it doesn't matter which pair you're wearing, as long as you're wearing a pair.
Yeah.
And so it could be the glasses of somebody who's really suffering and having an unhappy time. Maybe someone who's kind of intoxicated with the possibilities that are going to come. Could be judgment, could be anything, and that all works equally for a conditioned mind. But in all of that, there's something wrong. It's all out of the moment.
Yeah.
And there's this other place that you're finding as you're looking at this, of not being a me, you know, not being a somebody. And there, in that place, there's this immense compassion for all of that that goes on. And also, you didn't really say this, but implied, some really big choices there that are not available when we've got those glasses on.
Yeah.
Susan?
I just saw something I think is big, but I was thinking how my experience of being not being a somebody feels like like I'm fully alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reflecting to when I first came to practice and sort of, you know, thought that I was going to have to get rid of all of these, you know, I was going to, the way ego had it portrayed is, I'm going to practice and then I'm not going to be me. But my experience as people were talking is that as I let go of me, I feel just alive in me.
Mm-hmm. Sort of. Mm-hmm. There's a whole different me available, isn't there?
I'm available, I think is what it would be.
Yeah. There's authenticity available.
Available. Mm-hmm. That I get. So I had this experience right after I got home from the retreat, I think that day, with my 6-year-old.
You kind of got to put your armor on when you leave the property after something. Who knows what's going to, not your armor, but who knows what's going to happen. You got to have your tool belt ready.
The tool belt ready. Yes, exactly. So she's doing what she always does. No, I don't want to. What is the second line of the book?
I can't remember either. It's a place
I
think.
I don't feel like it.
I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. Okay. Because there was the, I don't want to, I don't have to. Anyway, she, I don't want to, I'm not gonna, is what in my 6-year-old. So, she's doing it. She says, no. I say it's her favorite word, which it is. She said, yeah. So I said, she said, I don't want to. And I said, you know, that's the retreat I just went on. Let me let you borrow my book. Well, you know, she can't read the book, right? I handed it to her and walked out the door. I don't know right where we were. We were in the bathroom, and she was having to brush her teeth, or I don't know what, getting her ready for bed. But, then in a minute, she started doing her, I don't want to. And so then I started saying, me either. I don't want to either. Mom, no. Mom, no. She just started laughing. Mom, stop it. I said, it really feels good. Because I tend to, my conditioned web, you know, I love problem, you know, I mean, that web of creation that's happening, is to try to say yes and work with them and then flip to the strangle them, you know.
So you're resisting, your role is to resist resistance.
Exactly. And I go blank. I think this is fascinating. So she says, I don't want it. I say, I do the whole thing they tell you, do 5 more minutes, you know, 2 more minutes. On one, she's going to come in skipping and happy, and of course she doesn't. And then she climbs onto the trampoline and just sits there, you know, holding on. I try every good mom, like, well, no, here's what I said. Listen to this, she had the gall to do it. So anyway, I know this is a story, but I said, 1 more minute, and if you come in, you can have a little piece of chocolate. You know, I'm thriving, right? So, of course, I say, time to come in, and she doesn't. And so, mom's power, Sophie's power, mom's power, I carry her in and put her in the bathtub, and she says, where's my chocolate? And I said, well, don't get chocolate because you didn't come in by yourself. But I just watched there's a belief about what it would look like if I were not being a me. Mm-hmm. And it tells me that's not it, which of course keeps me in a, but maybe that is it.
Hard to know, isn't it?
Hard to know, isn't it, right? Mm-hmm. So if the judgment and there's something wrong isn't there, right at, you know, that whole bump, 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 you know, telling me about my experience, it just really, I'm getting more and more clear that that's the thing. That thing up there that's always telling me this about what's going on. Well, that wasn't a very good thing to do.
And you'll never know, will you?
Right.
You'll never know. You'll never know if it's coming from here or not coming from here.
And it won't matter if I'm not right.
That's it, yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, the thing we do know is when we are coming from here, we're able to respond instead of react.
Yes.
We're not playing, like in the language we used a little while ago, you know, we're not playing our part in the web. And so, I mean, and who knows what that looks like? I mean, there's no way to predict it. There's no way to, you know, it's not in any books. You know, there's no way to figure that out ahead of time. It's just watching life respond to life from that place. And so really it doesn't matter. We don't have to know. It's just, people were saying earlier, we see when we're engaged in conditioned mind, when we're in the conversation, when we're resisting life and all those things that we look at, and we just drop it and come back here and trust that what happens there will be what's needed in that moment, even if from another point of view later on it looks like it's really unskillful.
Yeah, it's really helpful. And the thing I saw too as you were talking is that the thing I saw was that if I just stay with that in the moment, I will see if it's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I don't see, the tricky part that happens to me where conditioning gets it is if my mind's blank, if nothing's dropping in. And I think that happens because in my body is, you know, in that trying to figure out what's right, and so it's blocking me from seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like a few breaths might be helpful, or a pause, or kind of like the turning right, just for the sake of turning right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that blankness might be exactly what's horizon in the moment.
To be
too.
Seen.
Yeah, or it might just be, I mean, I don't know what it is, but I mean, it's easy to project, for example. It's the experience of conditioned mind running into awareness. You know, it's just like, well, you know, suddenly you're not on this program, you're not in here, because here everything is known, everything's certain, you know, mm-hmm. we know what to do, and then, but you're also paying attention to that. Suddenly there's this space that's right there, you know, maybe that's exactly what's there. Maybe it's just the space that's available for the next thing to drop in.
I love pay attention, not, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to say something about value judgments.
Okay.
And kind of what we're going through in the retreat in the book that we read. Well, I think value judgments are there to, you know, implement a system of morality. It's when we pull those value judgments and aim them towards ourselves and our behaviors. I learned for myself that when I do that, good, bad, I'm this, that, that's where, that's what we're trying to stop. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stop seeing those things I do through, by judging myself. It's inhibiting my true self from being, from just being.
Yeah, let me see if I'm with you. So by value judgment, you mean something like good, bad. Yeah? So what you're learning is that, like in the language we use around here, that's a conditioned orientation to life. It's not real. It's not actually so in the scheme of things. You know, there's no such thing as good and bad. It's just the way we're taught to look at life. And what you're seeing is if you're turning that, for example, inside, it really, well, there's a lot of suffering there, a lot of unhappiness there. And you're also seeing that you don't necessarily have to do that, that you have a choice about, since you can see that those are kind of artificial constructs being put on what's happening, that there's a choice about whether or not you're actually going to turn that on yourself and live in a world of where you could either be good or bad. Did I get that right?
Right. I try to see, I have to use this visualization that, where I could go down that very negative path of, and it spirals down to that train wreck. I try to visualize it as like a tall grass in the wind, where I'm the grass, and the things that happen to me where, bad things or things that I think are bad or where I'm feeling bad about myself. To let that go through me and pass by me, and I might sway a little bit, but it goes on,
right.
and I bend back.
Uh-huh.
And
that's a really nice
way
image.
Of letting go of those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice image because it implies, we talk a lot about being here, being in the moment where things like good and bad don't exist. So you're very, like we all are, you're very conditioned probably to believe in something like good and bad, and lots of other things too. And they're not, that doesn't make them real, that just makes them things that we believe in. And so what you're seeing is that you can, like that grass, you can be here because you're so, like we all are, you're so conditioned to believe in those things, they start to come by, you're going to get bent a little bit, you're going to start to get pulled, but there's a root that's there, that's here. And so you can, what you're finding is you can allow those things to pass through. You don't have to react to them or try to make that different or try to be good instead of bad or anything like that. You can just allow those to pass through, and once they pass through, you'll right yourself and you'll come back here again.
Right.
It's helpful to know that, isn't it?
Oh, big tool, big step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big step. Yeah, because what's the alternative? It's just to believe it and just be just get beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just get beat up all the time. Cool, great, thank you.
I'm working in this retreat on a feeling of detachment, a lack of connectedness.
Okay.
And it's funny because everyone's stories that they're sharing all have a little bit of a segment of that. There's value judgment of how is this retreat compared to last one.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you're not feeling as the many nerves as you did last time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not connecting. There's the go with foreign. I'm sort of simply observing myself going, this is so interesting, this feels strange. Maybe you're really detached. Then the egocentric voice comes in and goes, maybe this is you're detached, even from the retreat, see? And so...
Boy, it's working hard to be in control, isn't it?
Yeah, and so it's funny, I was talking about this last night, that it's sort of a photo negative of... I find it more comfortable to be emotionally kind of vulnerable and connected to people who I'm not very close with, but the people I'm very close with and I trust implicitly, there's a block there.
Huh, fascinating.
And so it's funny, so there's this photographic negative image, and so I'm having this at the retreat going, sitting having tea this morning, like, you're not very nervous. Maybe this is detached.
And so what's your relationship with it without this commentary?
There is the best way I can describe it is just very foreign. I just, it's sort of like I've always gone left,
Ah, I see.
I'm supposed to go right. Like Alex was talking about, I'm supposed to go right. You know, I'm just going to go right here. Uh-huh. And so I'm going right there, and I'm just finding myself in the middle of this road. And I don't know what I'm doing here.
Brand new territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, now which way do I do?
Yeah, I don't know what country I'm in. I don't know what language they speak. And so I'm just going to say, I'm just going to just sit here and just try to just feel it and be with it.
Boy, and I bet that really threatens conditioned mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's trying really hard to get to, because if you're doing that, it's basically out of control.
Yeah.
So it's trying to get you to, it's trying to talk to you and get you to believe something, it doesn't really matter what, so that you can be in relationship with it again and then be back kind of in the same old rut.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And to be in that personality as well of wow, this doesn't seem like you. Is everything okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy,
it was just a nasty little voice.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, but it really isn't, is it? It's just trying to pull you back into the same old place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's this, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because there's this whole place of freedom that's available that you can access by turning right.
Yeah.
And I'm projecting, you know, your heart really wants that. Mm-hmm. Really wants to experience the freedom of not being trapped inside a world of this world of egocentric karmic conditioning. But it doesn't.
It is, but there's also funny, if I can stop you, it's funny mm-hmm. that there, it also feels a little empty. Yeah. It's so foreign, because there's just, maybe that's the vessel feeling of...
Well, it's hard to know.
I mean, the judgments,
you know? That will be interesting to see. You know, is that actually your experience?
Right.
Or is that its experience?
Right. Oh, interesting, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it's going to experience that as empty, because it's empty of me.
Yeah. Empty of that ego-centric
exactly.
voice.
Yeah, okay. You're not... When you turn right, you are no longer the person who you've always been, supposedly.
Right. Right.
And the person it's working, you know, all the time, day and night, to make sure that you are or that you believe yourself to be.
Right.
Because that's how it stays in control of you. It
stays alive.
Yeah, yeah. It stays alive, yeah. And you stay somebody who is trapped in this very small world that it allows you full of unhappiness and suffering.
Yeah.
So you turn right, suddenly it's not there. And so it gets really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it starts talking about that. It has ideas about what that is that you're supposed to believe in order to pull you back into a place where it can influence you.
Oh. So true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. The other thing I'm curious about is, you know, without that, what is your actual experience of that place when you've turned right?
Oh, I haven't turned right very often.
Okay, don't know
so,
yet.
It's sort of a foreign. It's as if and then it goes back to the bat thing. It's as if you're telling a bat to be a cat.
Mm-hmm.
The bat goes, this is silly. Mm-hmm. I'm a bat. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what a cat is. I don't know. And that's me in the middle of the road going, I don't even know what this is.
Uh-huh.
This.
Yeah. Boy, it's gonna be fascinating to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, as you find the courage and the willingness more and more to turn right, because there's a whole world right there that this has never allowed you to experience.
Yeah, the thing that comes up is just trust the process. This has not failed you before. Mm-hmm. Just trust this process and just be with this empty or what all these things are that just comes up.
Yeah, and it's especially tricky at the beginning when we first start kind of trying to venture out of conditioned mind that way. I think what you'll find will happen is you'll start having experiences of, my favorite word for it is grace.
Uh-huh.
You know, experience of what it's like to live here outside of conditioned mind, how good that feels, how sort of right that feels, not in a right and wrong sort of way, but in a, you know, this is what is sort of way. You know, the authenticity that's there, and then more and more that can be a place that's comfortable to turn to, because you have more and more experiences of how good that is and how right that feels. Thank you. That's our time. Thank you very much. So we'll take a short break and then come back at 20 till 12, which is about 6 minutes from now, for another short sit. Okay.